Angeles, Orlando, Sacramento, and San Diego had the largest drops in their fitness levels. For Radio MD News, this is John Bird. Hear Health Talk interviews with top experts at RadioMD.com.
Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. Our top story this hour, healthy lifestyle patterns could help prevent more than half of all cancers. And of course, at 17 after the hour, we have Gary Ginsberg. You are listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the show that lets you know what you need to do to take control of you and your family's health. And it's on twice every Saturday, 3 to 5 and 5 to 7 p.m. And you can always get it archived at RadioMD.com. All 16 years, some great shows. The last show, some of our guests actually did. That was really remarkable. One on aging, but I'll come back to that. I think we'll do that next week as a top shows of the 16 years I'm going to mention next week. But for now, let's talk about this study that showed that half of all cancers could be prevented by lifestyle changes. And there's another part of that study. So this is a study that is research published in the journal JAMA Oncology. JAMA Oncology is the journal of the American Medical Association that focuses on cancer. And this is looking at insights for decades. This is people who, and they looked at the criteria of just four things. No smoking. Drinking in moderation, maintaining a healthy body weight, and exercise. Just with those four things, the number of new cancer cases could drop by over 60%. Now, that's very consistent. That data, you know, although it just came out, this data, but in fact, real age has had a 60 to 70% reduction in all cancers. We've had it in the program for over 16 years. So this is studies of 140,000 people that update their research every 2 years. But in fact, it's been in a lot of areas. And what they found is that the long-term studies of these 140,000 people showed that all cancer deaths could be reduced by more than 50%. If you did those four things, healthy weight, 30 minutes a day of walking, not much, avoiding tobacco, and having alcohol only in moderation. Pretty remarkable, 60% reduction. Those same things will reduce heart disease and strokes by about the same amount. You should probably combine it with stress management as well. So those are the things that we look at, and that's really, really important. Let's go back to another study that relates to this. So we talked about exercise and preventing cancer, but this is another study that came out this week on exercise and cancer. And this was from a different group of people. This is a group from the cancer group at Harvard who looked at 1.44 million people from 12 large-scale studies. So they pulled the studies, including from these studies on the 140,000 in the health professional study, but they looked at many others. And what they found is a reduced risk of the major cancers, breast, lung, and colon cancers from just 30 minutes a day of exercise. but they also found a lower risk of tumors in the liver, esophagus, kidney, stomach, blood, bone marrow, head, neck, rectum, and bladder. So virtually every kind of cancer was decreased. Now, they don't talk about brain cancer, but brain cancer is reduced by those other things we talked about, the waste for height being healthy, decreasing sugar in your diet, avoiding cigarettes, eating and avoiding too much alcohol. Sorry, I knew there were two avoids and two positives. So these are observational studies, so they don't directly prove that exercise reduces cancer risk, but they say there's an association between more exercise and lower cancer risk. By the way, when they looked at the people who did the most exercise, which turns out to be, believe it or not, in the study, only 20 minutes of, on average, of vigorous exercise a day and 10,000 steps. So those 10% who did the most did 10,000 steps and 20 minutes of vigorous exercise a day. So not very much compared to the 10 who did the least exercise. They basically were sedentary. This is remarkable. It was about a 70% decrease in all cancer risk. So remarkable data that do show that you get to control how long and well you live. I want to add one more top story that isn't going to be covered very well elsewhere, and that's on how do you postpone dementia, that is cognitive dysfunction or brain dysfunction, and enlarge your hippocampus at the same time. Is there something that is routine you can do? And the answer in this study was, to me, really remarkable. It is deep brain electrical stimulation. So this is crazy, right? Deep brain electrical stimulation. And we've used this for Parkinson's disease, so this isn't the first time it's ever come up, but this is really an unusual choice of it. But deep brain stimulation, that is stimulation of the deep parts of your brain with a electrical stimulator. It's literally a probe that is, and now it's done remotely, so you can do it via remote. But that stimulation over a 3-month period in patients with dementia, early dementia, decreased their risk of developing full-blown dementia over the next 3 years by about 40%. And yes, it increased their memory center in their brain. What's their memory center? That's the center of their brain, where called the hippocampus, where they remember things. It increased that considerably. So this is remarkable data, again, that show the benefits of this for this deep brain stimulation, not only for Parkinson's patients, but for a lot of other patients. So excellent data, and I love that we're beginning to get much more data on ways to prevent and treat dementia, because it is such a, or brain dysfunction, because it is such a big problem. In a few minutes, we're going to have Gary Ginsberg. This is my favorite segment. For those of you who know the show, this is my favorite segment of the show, because it is whatstoxic.com. Gary will talk to us today about the MTBE, that gasoline additive. It's had its day in court. And Gary says the states cash in. What does he mean by that? The EPA sets criteria for non-stick chemicals in drinking water, but no one's required to test. How about you? Can you test? And what do you look for? Common dietary pesticide alters the gut, the bacteria inside your intestine. At least it does so in mice. What about in you? Do for Jumbo Cruise Lines. Jumbo Cruise Lines create a lot of pollution What should we know about that? Gary's also going to talk to us, at least I'm going to talk to him, about the most interesting article on the FDA updating their nutrition panel and what that means for the rest of us and what that means for sugar and, if you will, what it means not only for sugar, but what it means for you and sugar substitutes. We're going to be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. And I hope I've gotten, Ben, have I gotten the time right or wrong? Perfect.
Can be, or choose all four. Veggie fries are gluten-free.
Thank you.
A good source of fiber. And an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Did you know your eyes have hidden connections to your overall health? The Eye Care Revolution, an easy-to-read analysis of vision and health by Dr. Robert Abel Jr., is an authoritative guide that explains natural and conventional methods to prevent and even reverse many common vision disorders like cataracts, glaucoma, dry eye, macular degeneration, and diabetes-related vision loss. From high-tech laser treatments to centuries-old Asian remedies, the Eye Care Revolution, with a foreword by Dr. Mehmet Oz, provides amazing nutritional, herbal, homeopathic, and conventional methods to improve your eye health and overall health and wellness. Dr. Abel shares breakthrough information about eye strain, new developments in LASIK surgery, discusses how computers and texting are affecting our eyes, what you need to know about your children's eyes, the easy way to administer eye drops, antioxidant must-haves for your eyes, alternative therapies, and so much more. Order The Eye Care Revolution by Dr. Robert Abel Jr. on Amazon.com. That's The Eye Care Revolution.
Fact. All probiotic bacteria strains are not created equal, and only Natron cultures its own strains in-house for unparalleled quality and potency. Natron's Healthy Trinity, the world's best triple-strain probiotic. Hear it from our satisfied customers.
My name is Dr. Stephen Faber. I'm a gastroenterologist from North Carolina. I use the Healthy Trinity products personally and recommend them for my patients for several reasons. They do represent three of the best strains of probiotics available today. They're manufactured and shipped cold to guarantee potency of the colony-forming units, and the Natron probiotics are the superior probiotic.
Try Healthy Trinity risk-free for 90 days, plus the first 20 orders get free second-day express delivery. Give them a call now at 866-4-NATREN, 1-866-4-N-A-T-R-E-N, or visit natron.com and enter promo code RADIOMD. Natron.com, promo code RADIOMD.
More than half of all Americans, including teenagers, don't drink enough water.
Waterlogged is a great app that will help you build good water habits with customized tracking and personalized reminders.
Download Waterlogged from the iTunes App Store and start using your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad to track and...
Great. Gary, thank you. Wonderful stories.
Oh, good, Mike. How's it
going? We'll start with MBTE.
MTV, yeah. Boy, you still remember what MTV even is?
It's a gasoline additive, right?
Yeah. But it's like a long time ago since it's been in the news.
No, I thought it was just a good story to start with.
Okay, excellent.
And get a full picture of your health in your favorite app.
Download Waterlogged from the App Store or visit waterlogged.com.
And now, back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and I am Dr. Mike Roizen, and this is my favorite segment of the show because I learned so much from Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's Toxic.com is his website. but you learn this great information that lets you take control of you and your family's health, and he encapsulates it relating to everything in the environment. Okay, Gary, MTBE has day in court. What happens, and what does it mean for our states?
Right. Okay, so MTBE, or methyl tertiary butyl ether, it was a chemical that in the 1980s through the early 2000s was added to gasoline as a oxygenate. So when they took lead out of gasoline, they put MTBE in. EPA allowed it. The big oil companies thought it was a good idea. They added it at the refinery level. And all of our gasoline, instead of having ethanol, which we have today, had MTBE, mostly MTBE. There were a couple of other similar oxygenates. The problem was is that they polluted groundwater. When you had leaking underground tanks, the MTBE wouldn't break down in the groundwater, but it would travel, contaminate wells, and basically make a lot of groundwater not drinkable. So the state of California sued back in the mid-2000s and got some awards. We think of ExxonMobil, we think of the Exxon Valdez and spilling into Arctic. Well, now we've got Exxon paying the state of New Hampshire $236 million in a settlement just recently because of all the groundwater that was tainted by the gasoline spills that Exxon put into the groundwater. They claim, you know, the defense claims that, well, this was all allowed by EPA to put this oxygenate into the gasoline. Yet the spills, EPA never said, okay, go spill it into groundwater. That was done by, you know, really poor storage tanks that were underneath gas stations. So the bottom line today is that MTBE could still be in groundwater. People living anywhere, as I would say, within a quarter mile of a gas station should have MTBE on its watch list of things that might be in your well. And these lawsuits are windfalls for states like New Hampshire, but they need to keep that money separate out of the general fund and go towards testing, continued vigilance, and finding out where all these plumes of old oil spills are and what neighborhoods are starting to affect.
And, Gary, the uptake on that is, does every state get it, or is it just a few states are getting this?
Every state's doing it one by one. So New Hampshire got a big settlement now out of the oil companies. California did their own thing a number of years ago. I'm not sure about the other states. The litigation hasn't been in the news until there's a settlement. So I bet, you know, New Hampshire's not unique. I know my home state, Connecticut, has had a lot of groundwater contamination from MTBE. Every state attorney general, I'm sure, is aware of the possibility of getting a major settlement that could help in a variety of environmental ways. But, you know, contaminated groundwater costs the state a lot of money to try to find the sources, get the sources tested, cleaned up, suing the each gas station individually has to be gone after to try to get them to do the right thing. So, by the way, modern gas stations in 2016, most of them have new stainless steel underground tanks that do not leak or will leak maybe in 50 years. But in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, there were a lot of leaking tanks. We used to say that rust leads to lust, or rusty tanks would lead to leaking underground storage tanks, which we affectionately called lust.
Now, let's go over, and there's another interesting study relating to water. And that is, the EPA has set criteria for non-stick chemicals in drinking water, but no one's required to test it. What does that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, EPA has done something really good in terms of letting everyone, again, in the state level across the country, know that these two perfluorinated chemicals called PFOA and PFOS are a potential hazard if they're in your drinking water. And then we usually think of drinking water standards, let's say for benzene. You know what the benzene drinking water standard is? It's five parts per billion. Okay, the standard for PFOA and PFOS is 70 parts per trillion, or 0.07 parts per billion. So way lower than what we all, you know, think of as really bad, which is benzene. So these are really, really bad. They cause endocrine disruption, liver problems, reproductive, you know, developmental problems, important for pregnant women to know about, all that stuff. So we recognize all that. They set their, they're called a health advisory. It takes them a lot longer to set an MCL, or, you know, an actual illegally enforceable standard. And it means that the big water supplies they can voluntarily decide to test, but they don't have to test because there's no enforceable legal standard. These are just advisory numbers. So it's really, you know, it really leaves the consumer and the state regulators sort of in between a rock and a hard place. Probably there's not a lot of PFOA and PFOS in groundwater. There may be a couple of vulnerable locations where, like fire around where there's airports, for example, is one place people are starting to worry about. San Francisco Airport just found some in their groundwater because of firefighting and the firefighting training that the PFOA and the PFOS is in. It's also in, by the way, it has historically been in Teflon pans. You can't make a Teflon pan out of that anymore. It was historically in Gore-Tex clothing, historically in takeout containers. FDA now says that they don't allow any more PFOA or PFOS in takeout containers, but they're still perfluorinated compounds, just a slightly different version. So the testing on that still is, it needs to come in. But anyway, regarding the groundwater, it's very expensive, and there's not a lot of labs to test for PFOA and PFOS. So that's the bad news. So every state is checking around, looking for the vulnerable locations. New York State had one hot spot recently. Hoosick Falls, New York, had some bad groundwater because of a local factory that had put some PFOA and PFOS in the groundwater. New Hampshire's had some sites. Keys Air Force Base, Vermont has had some sites. So, some news headlines have been made about it. I think we'll hear a lot more about this story coming down the pike. If you have a private well and you're anywhere near, like a firefighting training school, an airport, those kinds of locations, it's worth asking your local authorities if they could check out your area and make sure they know about the groundwater.
Let's go to another one. This is also something maybe you should do something about, and that is common dietary pesticide alters bacteria in the gut. What does that mean, and what do you do about it?
This is an emerging story. The microbiome, Mike, as I'm sure you are very aware of, and I'm sure we've talked about on the show, really has a lot to do with health. But do we know exactly which bacteria in the microbiome do what benefits and or deficits to our health?
Gary, we're going to run out of time. Can we have you stay over for the second segment?
Okay. All right, Mike, are we out of time already?
Where you've done such a good job, and there's such interesting things. We got two more stories, this one and another one. We're going to talk about the microbiome, the bacteria in your gut more, and what a common pesticide does to that, and what you can do about it. When we come back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on Radio MD, the show that lets you have the information so you can take control of your family's health and stay well. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Yeah, well,
Gary, thank you.
Eating organic, obviously, Mike, but, the microbiome is just such a emerging research area. Do we know how much of a change makes a physiological difference? Do we know which bacteria are good and which bacteria may not be good. What does the proper colony look like? It's going to be different in everybody's body. So the fact that a pesticide now is being, which makes sense, pesticides kill things. Wouldn't be surprising to me that a pesticide, all sorts of pesticides in the diet could change your flora. But it's, we usually think about it in terms of the antibiotics that we're taking in. And here, so here's a new one, the dietary pesticide. It's an intriguing emerging story.
It's a great story. Thank you.
So your Cleveland Indians have been beating my Boston Red Sox. What is up with this?
Oh, what did they do today? I saw it yesterday, but what did they do today?
No, they're playing at 4 o'clock, so they haven't really gotten going yet. But, yeah, I thought the Indians weren't very good this year. They're starting to pick it up.
Well, they actually have great pitching, so it'll be interesting. And they've had great hitting the last 4 days, so we'll see if it continues.
Yeah. I mean, baseball is so up and down. You know, the Red Sox went through a run the other week, like 2 weeks ago, where they were scoring 10 runs every single game. And, you know, now they can't hit the ball.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a funny game, isn't it?
It is. It's such a mystery. It's like, what is the karma that makes the whole team go into a slump? Like, all of them. I could understand one guy or two guys, but the whole team can't hit the ball all of a sudden.
No, it's funny that way. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I think part of it is if you go up against a really good pitcher, that you can throw your timing off, and then, like, you start doubting yourself.
Yeah, it must be something common like that, because it is such a, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the whole team changes in a day.
I know. I know that when they travel,
and I'm also dying to find out, you know, this guy Kipnis goes in streaks every year. He's had a month where he's been the top hitter in all of major leagues, where he hits like .490, and then he drops down to .240 for the rest of the year, and he ends up right around .300. But 1 month he carries the team.
Yeah, and I'd much rather see a consistent hitter than some guy that's going to go into a funk. It's like, oh, it gets depressing. I feel depressed watching these guys go through their slumps. It drags me down into a slump.
Yes. You're too into the game.
I got involved. You know, my Mets, you know, now they were losers for so long. But, you know, I try to like that team. But there are just too many people on that team I don't like. And they traded away my favorite guy, Murphy. And he's hitting .400 for the arch rivals. So the Mets are a hard team to like.
I agree.
But they've got Noah Syndergaard, you know, our savior from the Viking. He's such a Viking, so that makes it fun.
American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Michael Roizen, MD. Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. When we were rudely interrupted by those important announcements, and they were, and it wasn't rudely, we knew where they were coming, we were talking about pesticides and the bacteria in your gut. We've known antibiotics affect them. Now, Gary, pesticides do too, right?
Yeah, so this is a new emerging topic on what other environmental chemicals can mess around with the contents of your gut microflora. And there seems to be an emerging connection, believe it or not, between the bacteria in your stomach and the functioning of your brain. So a CNS to gut connection. And we know that, for example, that pesticides are neurotoxic.
And we're not sure about all the different ways that they could be affecting brain functioning, but there is a gender specificity to this one. So diazinon, which is this pesticide that farmers use, used to be used more commonly around the home, but it's an organophosphate, and now we're using the pyrethrins, you know, for bug killer around the home. But diazinon, nevertheless, is in the diet as a pesticide residue. There are tolerances for it, and it's known to be pretty much more toxic to the females than the male rats and mice that it's tested in. Nobody ever understood why there would be this gender difference, but it's also much more potent in changing the microbiome of the female mice than the male mice. So they think now that its effects on cholinesterase, on the brain, brain functioning, could be tied into its effects on the microbiome. And what did it do to the microbiome? Well, at 4 parts per million in drinking water for the mice, which is a lot. I mean, if you had 4 parts per million of diazinon in your water, you hopefully would be testing it and you wouldn't be drinking it at that level. It's pretty high. But nevertheless, but it's not crazy high. It's not like enough to really harm the mice in other ways. It's still a relatively low exposure, and just not one that would be tolerated in drinking water. And it affected the microbiome. It radically changed it so that you could see the metabolism of the microbes in the blood, that all those metabolic products were altered. And the DNA, the RNA testing they did of the microbiome was radically shifted. So we don't know how much of that is tied into brain functioning, whether how much of that is a bad thing versus a neutral thing. But it seems to be very suspicious that these pesticides, which are known to kill things, they're generated, they're designed to be able to kill off pests or, you know, insects. Well, it's not surprising that they kill off your intestinal flora. Whether the levels in our diet, so the next thing is they have to go to lower doses, and they have to see at the levels that are in our diet how much change that would cause to the microbiome. But, you know, if you want to be precautious on this, you know, you can try to eat more pesticide-free foods, more organic foods. Also, it's important to keep up your microbiome by eating a healthy, varied diet, and one that has, you know, yogurt or some kind of, you know, acidophilus in it. You could always be going for the supplements that that also create a healthy microbiome, which, you know, is emerging as more and more important.
Okay, so the key, I guess, for us is, and by the way, you and I love baseball and love football and other sports that are played outside, but you're especially into baseball. They must use pesticides and they must use fertilizer on that grass to get the natural grass. Boston has natural grass. The Mets, yep. Do they play on natural? They play on natural, and Cleveland plays on natural. So what does that do to those guys playing on that grass?
Well, the bigger question, Mike, is what is all the pesticides and fertilizers that they have to use on soccer playing fields, you know, where our kids are playing, when they're running around on. So part of the artificial turf debate that's been out there is, you know, that there's probably a benefit in switching away from natural grass to some of these synthetics because, you know, there is some breakdown of these chemicals under sunlight and in water. The modern pesticides do break down pretty well, but nevertheless, you know, there is some kitty exposure and, as you say, MLB exposure to pesticides from what they're putting on the grass, because they do have to keep that up over the season to make sure that the grubs especially don't eat up their lawns. So I would, you know, it's never been studied. But sports athletes are out on those fields, or youth soccer could be out on those fields for a long time every day. And it's important for towns to make sure that if they're going to use any of these chemicals, that it's you know, early in the season before kids are really out there playing.
So that's the story on. I actually love that story, if you will. It's a very good a good subject to have stories on. So thank you.
Sure. It's an emerging story, Mike. I will give you updates, I promise.
Okay. Now, the other one is that jumbo cruise liners create pollution problems. What does it mean to places like Fort Lauderdale and to the Bahamas, where a lot of cruise lines come in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't realize this aspect of it, but as these big ships, you know, come into port, they're using for energy some of the cheapest, dreggiest diesel fuels. Not higher quality stuff like what we're using in our cars, but they run on really inexpensive, dirty, high sulfur fuels because most of the time they're running out at sea and far from people's breathing zones, and the people on deck are not breathing in because you got smokestacks that are pushing it out into the wind. So when they come into port, you know, there are this story that I sent you came out of Southampton, England, where they have boats regularly coming into port, staying overnight, and not plugging in. They could plug in to local electricity and pay the money for that, but they choose to run off their diesel. And there are laws in some places that they have to switch over to a cleaner burning diesel when they're in port. They don't reliably do that, but the particulate levels in a place like Southampton, England, go up tremendously when you got three or four cruise liners at dock. So it's becoming much more of a local, as the cruise industry, and by the way, I had no idea, but the cruise industry has really picked up. There's a lot more people taking cruises. It is the fastest growing sector of the tourism industry. It's really people who take cruises to Disney World or out of Disney World or from one Disney World to the next Disney World. People are cruising everywhere these days. And the bigger the boats, it seems like the more popular. 8,000 cabin boats are now out there. And they not only put air pollution out, but they also are, they release raw sewage out into the oceans if they are beyond 3 miles from the coast. And if they're within three miles of the coastlines, they have to treat the sewage. But they're putting sewage out there. So, you know, a lot of the environmental groups are trying to keep the regulations and the enforcement tight on cruise liners. But as they become more popular, it's just another shrinking planet story, that you get the algal blooms from the nutrient loads coming out of these ships, and then you get the air pollution on the shoreline. And it's just another way in which we really have to be, as there's more of us, we have greater ability to do damage, and we have to be smarter. And
Gary, a lot of this would be contained if they just used energy efficiently rather than you burn their own.
You doing solar and wind, especially on these boats?
We'll be right back with the final segment of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and your questions and summary. Thanks very much. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you.
Traditional Chinese medicine and Indian Ayurvedic medicine. No synthetic drugs or chemicals. Exact is created from herbs that have been safely used by healers for thousands of years. Experience a new kind of energy, mental energy, and get the focus and breakthrough mental edge you need to succeed with Exact. Learn more about the science behind Exact, see what customers are saying, and try Exact 100% risk-free at exactmind.com. That's the letter X, ACTmind.com. Exactmind.com.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And we've got a lot to go through, just to summarize where we've been this week. So we may not get to anything new in this last segment, but I want to recap. Wellness, foreplay, story of the week, healthy lifestyle patterns, four choices. Getting a normal waist for your height, that is less than half your height, your waist should be, measured at your belly button with you sucking in, no tobacco, 30 minutes of physical activity, and only having moderate alcohol, which is less than two drinks a night, prevents more than half of all cancer, 60%, and more than half of 60% of cancer deaths. Secondly, the FDA updated the nutrition facts panel to add added sugar, added syrups, wonderful thing, make serving size more realistic. It's a great thing. And they're going to talk to us about what we mean by healthy and natural and how they should allow or not allow it on a label. A study showed deep brain electrical stimulation treats and postpones dementia and enlarges your brain size. It's like doing exercise with just brain stimulation. Exercise probably easier than brain stimulation for many of us, because brain stimulation does require putting electrodes in. But this is in people who already had the problem, not just enlarging the hippocampus in those before they got it. Exercise 30 minutes a day just walking is tied to a lower risk of 13 major cancers. Another story, potatoes especially fried and four portions a week increases the risk of high blood pressure by about 20%. Yoga being taught in schools, it's not a language, it's not a religion. It is learning how to breathe, it is learning how to meditate, it is learning how to control your emotions in time of stressful events. By the way, another story on high blood pressure that came out this week is booze. That's right, more than 1 ounce of alcohol, if you have high blood pressure that is untreated, seems to gradually and progressively increase your risk of developing end-stage heart failure. That is, heart failure where you can't move, can't exercise, etc. So get your high blood pressure treated, and this problem literally goes away if you get your high blood pressure treated. You can go back to booze. Inactive women face a higher risk of cervical cancer. It's another cancer that is shown to decrease with just a little bit, 30 minutes a week of exercise. I skipped over one, that is medical marijuana. For desperate families with epilepsy, the oil component, that is the cannabinoid component of marijuana, appears in some of them to decrease, to be a saving factor in decreasing seizures. It apparently is only childhood epilepsy and only those that are unresponsive to others that seem to get this benefit. We don't really have enough data on it, but this is a reason for medical marijuana, that is this one oil, not smoking it, not having the kids smoke it, but it is having the kids eat the brownies or get the oil to do it. We learned from Gary Ginn, one of my favorite stories I almost didn't talk about. Your walking ability. This is another reason to do those 10,000 steps a day. How fast can you walk, 5 meters or 16.4 feet? If you can do it in under 7 seconds, you have a much lower risk post-surgery of any type, especially post-cardiac surgery. So learning how to walk faster and walking faster, a great predictor of adverse outcomes and even death following cardiac surgery. We learned from Gary Ginsberg 4 other wonderful stories. Jumbo cruise liners create pollution problems. We should pass laws if you're in one of these states, in one of these areas, that the cruise line has to use electricity from onshore, can't burn its own fuel, and pollute locally. Looks like it's about 50% of the effect is just that. MTBE, that additive to gasoline, it's okay in the gasoline, but it's not okay in your groundwater. The states are gradually suing them. Make sure your state is alert to this. Common dietary pesticide alters your bacteria. The subject, maybe we should all be eating organically for that reason alone. We don't have good data on it, but it is. Now we're getting data in mice. And the EPA set criteria for non-stick chemicals in drinking water. The only problem is this is really a problem. It sounds like it is where firefighters practice using these chemicals. What to eat when you're a teen to prevent breast and prostate cancer in middle age. It's a study looking 30 years later at kids' eating habits. If they ate 3 or more servings of fresh vegetables a day, they had about a 25% reduction in cancers. So that's a key component. Well beyond wellness, bullying is a serious health problem that causes changes in the person who is bullied and even the bullier's stress response system that lasts at least 10 years longer in this study. Amazing. Just being bullied has a long-term response on how you respond to stress. The Adomegas, a small waist loss, 5% of your, if you lose 5% of your weight, 140-pound person loses 7 pounds, they get huge health gains in preventing both diabetes and hypertension. Michigan's chickenpox cases jumped 57%. The message and action step for you, if you haven't been vaccinated against chickenpox and you were born since 1995, talk about getting vaccinated. If you were over 50, you probably had chickenpox, so make sure you get the shingles vaccine and get a booster on it. There's huge upside, very little, that there is risk for all of these vaccinations, but the benefit greater than the risk tenfold, 10,000-fold. That means it's like betting a dollar in Las Vegas and the chance of, yeah, you could lose the dollar, but on a 50-50 basis, you'd get 10,000. I'd take that anytime. And so we've gone over that. And the last one is the downside of smoothies. We didn't carry it, but eating too many smoothies, a lot of it is just too fast, a blood sugar rise. Those are the stories. The FDA also put added sugar, added syrups, and in 2.5 years or 2 years, we'll get to see it on a label mandatorily. Major improvement. This has been the great show, and I got to thank Dr. Mashi Seibel, Rise with Bible, the estrogen window, for a wonderful description of how estrogen can help perimenopausal and postmenopausal women. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.